Hello, everyone. Brian and Julian here. We're going into the update vault to play one of the many episodes from throughout the many years of this program. For today's episode, we go into the world of 2021, continuing the pandemic era of the program. 2021 was still a weird year. We were still finding out the mysteries about the coronavirus, and we were still out on the road in the middle of a pandemic, no less. But somehow, we find a way to just make the whole thing work. Oh, and one last thing about this episode. After the show aired, one of my former producers, who happened to be listening to the show at the time, called me up and actually invited me out to lunch. How about that? Good afternoon from Midland Beach, in the Midland Beach section of Staten Island. On the update this Sunday, the pandemic has created a staggering childcare crisis that is threatening to undermine the tentative reopening of the U.S. economy, forcing many parents to choose between work and looking after their kids. We'll have the latest details. American leaders across all faiths are now grappling with the heavy burden of helping to heal two active traumas: the rising civil unrest driven by the police killing of George Floyd, and also the coronavirus pandemic. The pandemic is also slowly releasing its grip on the sports world. Fans are already thinking about returning to stadiums and arenas, but what awaits them could be unlike anything that they've ever seen. And in other news, officials across the south, the southern U.S., are scrambling to adjust their hurricane plans around the pandemic. Hurricane season, it starts on Monday. This is the update, Sunday, May the 31st, 2020.
This is the update with Brandon Julian, reporting tonight on the road.
And a very pleasant Sunday to you, Brandon Julian here, the host of the Update Podcast, exclusive also on the WKRB Mix Cloud channel. Today's road stop, Midland Beach, in the Midland Beach section of Staten Island. We are back. We are here today and tomorrow. It's the joy, the joys of Sunday and Monday's recordings. Two shows, one location. Just can't get enough of that. We have a lot of news to get to this Sunday, though, including the latest coronavirus developments. We're going to begin this Sunday with parents. The pandemic, of course, has created a staggering childcare crisis that is threatening to undermine the tentative reopening of the U.S. economy, forcing many parents to choose between work and looking after their kids. Public schools in most states are closed for the remainder of the academic year, and many camps won't open this summer. Thousands of daycares are also still closed, many of them following the lead of school districts. Only some are remaining open, but only for children of the essential workers. Meanwhile, the informal network of friends and relatives that many parents rely on is disintegrated in a world of social distancing. Yesterday, the governor of this state, Governor Cuomo, signed a bill granting death benefits to the families of police officers, public health workers, and other frontline workers who've died of the virus. The governor signed the bill at his daily briefing yesterday. The bill is passed. The bill passed, I should say, by state lawmakers. Provides an accidental death benefit that is more substantial than the regular death benefit that public workers' families receive. Dozens of police officers, public health workers, transit workers, and even paramedics have died of COVID-19 in the months since New York became the epicenter of the pandemic here in the U.S. Restaurants, of course, in this city still remain closed for table and bar service, but someone bending the rules meant to curb infections by encouraging customers to linger outside for an extra round or two of takeout cocktails. Elsewhere around the city, clothing stores and a tanning salon have sought to reopen early, signs that some New Yorkers are itching to catch up with other parts of the country that are already freeing up their economies. In the death of George Floyd, American religious leaders across all faiths have been grappling with the heavy burden of helping to heal two active traumas, the rising civil unrest and the pandemic. Christian, Jewish, and Muslim leaders have raised their voices to condemn racial bias in the justice system while discouraging violence in response to the killing of Floyd, a black man who died after a white police officer pressed a knee into his neck. Those words of solidarity from many clergy are coming as their worship routines remained upended by the virus. In the state capital in Albany, Governor Cuomo said that the city is still on track to begin reopening on June 8th as the state gradually loosens restrictions that have been put in place during the crisis. He says that the city is meeting goals set for hospital rates and testing, will stockpile PPEs, and will focus on infection rates and hotspots by zip code. Also, back on Friday, a large swath of upstate New York got the go-ahead to reopen hair salons, retail shops, and offices under strict guidelines. State experts have cleared the North Country, Finger Lakes, Central New York, Mohawk Valley, and the Southern Tier to enter the second reopening phase. 67 new coronavirus deaths. And across the river in Atlantic City in New Jersey, the outbreak could lead to a quicker expansion of sports betting and internet gambling in the U.S. as states are dealing with huge budget deficits. So far, 18 states plus the District of Columbia are offering sports betting for offering internet gambling. Numerous others are likely to follow soon. New York State Senator Joseph Abbato said that his state is a $50 billion deficit largely due to the outbreak. He wants to improve mobile sports betting. Ohio is among states that are still moving forward with gambling expansion bills. And the gambling industry experts say that the virus is accelerating trends that were already in motion, including a growing acceptance of sports and online gambling. There is other news this Sunday to address, and we will address those in the update with Brandon Julian, OTR. Podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel returns in just 30 seconds.
What can I possibly do to make this stressful time a little better? Here's one thing I found. It's a small thing, a simple thing, a remarkable thing. Smile. You can share a smile from more than 6 feet apart. You can share it socially with the whole world. In fact, right now, I'm smiling at you. And I hope you're smiling back, because smiling is in you, from PassItOn.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Some of the other news on this Sunday. Officials here in the city are looking for a peaceful way forward after 3 days of protests against police brutality that left police cars burned and led to the arrest of hundreds of people. Mayor de Blasio said that he wasn't considering a curfew after largely peaceful protests around the city yesterday gave way to scattered clashes between police and protesters later in the evening. Demonstrators smashed shop windows, threw objects at officers, torched and battered police vehicles, and blocked roads. City police said 345 people were arrested and 33 officers were injured. Similar protests flared around the nation in response to George Floyd's death. As the street protests spiraled into the city's worst day of unrest in decades yesterday, as fires burned, windows got smashed, and dangerous confrontations between demonstrators and officers flared amid crowds of thousands decrying police killings. A day that began with mostly peaceful marches through Harlem and neighborhoods in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens descended into chaos as night fell. Demonstrators broke windows, hurled objects at officers, and torched police vehicles. Officers sprayed crowds with chemicals, and video showed two police cruisers lurching into a crowd of demonstrators, knocking several to the ground after people threw objects at the vehicle. Across the river from us in Trenton, in New Jersey, some victims of childhood sex abuse were considering suing the Boy Boy Scouts of America must rush to do so, or perhaps face a greater risk of losing. Attorneys for the Scouts and victims agreed this month on a November 16th deadline for victims to make a claim or be barred from bringing one later. They previously had over a year longer to make a claim. Rushing to sue before fully confronting the abuse could stress and also undermine the point of legislation in states that extended statutes of limitations, or victims could wait longer and sue local councils, who are likely to deflect blame to the national group. And over in Minneapolis, Americans were waking up to charred and glass-strewn streets in dozens of cities after another night of unrest fueled by raid and mistreatment of African Americans at the hands of police. Tens of thousands of people marched peacefully through the streets to protest the death of George Floyd, a black man who died last Monday after a white Minneapolis police officer pressed his knee on his neck until he stopped breathing. Many demonstrations sank into chaos as night fell. Cars and businesses were torched. The words "I can't breathe" were spray painted all over buildings. A fire in a trash can burned near the gates of the White House. Time for us to step aside for a moment and we return on the update of this Sunday from Midland Beach. Section of Staten Island. We'll help you get around with the MTA Essential Service Plan. We're going to talk some sports, talk about how the pandemic is slowly releasing its grip on the sports world. Fans, they're already thinking about returning to stadiums and arenas, but what awaits them could be unlike anything that they've ever seen. We'll talk about what happened on this day in history, and then we will address the latest national news, including how officials across the South are scrambling to adjust their hurricane plans around this pandemic. Hurricane season starts on Monday. We'll address that in the Up to a Brandon Julian OTR podcast exclusive, also on the WDKRB Mixcloud channel. Returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah. We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
From New York City, doing business in the same location since 1904, this is The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Keeping an eye on the roads, the rails, and the skies. It's time for Traffic and Weather Together.
The MTA, of course, is running an essential service plan for essential employees only. So service on most lines will be running a frequency of at least every 10 to 30 minutes. As a reminder, there is no scheduled service on the B, Grand Central Shuttle, W, and Z trains. For alternate service, you can use the 7, C, D, J, N, Q, or R trains. As a reminder, the subways close every night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. for disinfecting and deep cleaning of trains and stations. For alternate means to get around during those hours, visit mta.info/overnight.
Now, with the latest scores and highlights, it's time for the Sports Update.
Let us talk some sports on this Sunday. And the College Football Hall of Fame is now boarded up and assessing the damage after a destructive night of protests in downtown Atlanta. The facility's most valuable trophies and artifacts were moved to a secure facility in case additional trouble broke out amid nationwide unrest over the death in Minneapolis of George Floyd. The handcuffed black man died last Monday after a white police officer pressed his knee into his neck for several minutes. Kimberly Bowden, B. Hall's chief executive director, said today that the extensive glass facade of the nearly 95,000 square foot building was shattered on Friday night. She said rioters also broke into the street level gift shop, sold merchandise, and left it, quote, pretty trashed. But other than some broken glass that fell into a large exhibition area shaped like a football field, the interior of the hall wasn't breached by the protesters. Previously located in South Bend, Indiana, the Hall of Fame opened a new $68.5 million facility in Atlanta back in 2014, taking a prime spot adjacent to the George Floyd Congress Center and right across the street from Centennial Olympic Park. It's part of a hub of downtown tourist attractions that also includes the Georgia Aquarium, the World of Coca-Cola, CNN Center, the National Center for Civil and Human Rights, and a giant Ferris wheel. That area became the epicenter of Atlanta's protests after Floyd's death. Thousands of people jammed the streets, clashing with police and damaging businesses. And finally, the pandemic, of course, is slowly releasing its grip on the sports world. Fans are already thinking about returning to stadiums and arenas, but what awaits them could be unlike anything that they've ever seen. Empty rows and sections could be the norm for a while. Temperature screenings and medical checks could be mandatory to get in. Many teams and leagues are exploring new technology that could help with crowd control and promote social distancing. Fans could have their every move scrutinized by cameras and lasers. By having virtual tickets scanned on their smartphones, fans could be acknowledging the health risk of attending a game while surrendering some of their personal rights. Turn on the update this Sunday from Midland Beach, in the Midland Beach section of Staten Island. We will address what happened on this day in history, and then we will talk the latest national news, including how the average price of regular grade gasoline rose 8 cents over the past 2 weeks to $2.05 a gallon. We'll address that and more when the update with Brandon Julian OTR podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel returns in just a moment.
Tuned in to WKRB. The update returns in a moment.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit ny.gov/coronavirus.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by New York State and the Ad Council.
Hi, Cap. Elmo wants to know, what is the census?
The census is a special time when we count every single person in the country.
Do kids and babies count, too?
Of course. Counting everyone in your home helps support your neighborhood by funding schools, hospitals, and more. So complete the census by calling, going online, or returning your form by mail. It's totally private.
Visit 2020census.gov and...
Make your family count!
Brought to you by Carnegie Corporation of New York and the Ad Council.
From New York City, it's after 10 a.m. Do you know who your boyfriend is? This is the update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Welcome back to the update with Brandon Julian, OTR podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop and tomorrow's stop as well. Midland Beach in the Midland Beach section of Staten Island. Enjoying the nice weather, being out on the beach. I'm actually laying on the sand right now. laying on the sand, enjoying the sun. There are some people, you know, taking their stroll along the beach, some wading in the water, which you can do. The mayor said you can wade in the water, but you just can't go swimming in the water, per se. Let's try. Let's talk about what happened on this day in history for this May the 31st. The highlight of this day came in 1921 when a race riot erupted in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as white mobs began looting and leveling the affluent black district of Greenwood. Of reports, a black man had assaulted a white woman in an elevator. Hundreds are believed to have died. In 1859, the Big Ben Clock Tower in London went into operation, chiming for the first time. In 1889, some 2,200 people in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, perished when the South Fork Dam collapsed, sending 20 million tons of water rushing through the town. In 1910, the Union of South Africa was formed. In 1949, former State Department official and accused spy Alger Hiss went on trial in New York, charged with perjury. The jury was deadlocked, but Hiss was convicted in a second trial. In 1961, South Africa became an independent republic as it withdrew from the British Commonwealth. In 1962, former Nazi official Adolf Eichmann was hanged in Israel a few minutes before midnight for his role in the Holocaust. In 1970, a magnitude 7.9 earthquake in Peru claimed an estimated 67,000 lives. In 1977, the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, 3 years in the making, despite objections from environmentalists and Alaska natives, was completed. The first oil began flowing through the pipeline 20 days later. In 1990, President George H.W. Bush welcomed Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev to Washington for a summer meeting. Also, the situation comedy Seinfeld began airing as a regular series on NBC. In 2005, breaking a silence of 30 years, former FBI official W. Mark Felt stepped forward as Deep Throat, the secret Washington Post source during the Watergate scandal. In 2009, Dr. George Tiller, a rare provider of late-term abortions, was shot and killed in a Wichita, Kansas church. Gunman Scott Roeder was later convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison with no possibility of parole for 50 years. Also, Milvina Dean, the last survivor of the 1912 sinking of the RMS Titanic, died in Southampton in England at the age of 97. And in 2014, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl, the only American soldier held prisoner in Afghanistan, was freed by the Taliban in exchange for 5 Afghan detainees from the U.S. prison in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. Bergdahl, who had gone missing in June of 2009, later pleaded guilty to endangering his comrades by walking away from his post in Afghanistan. His sentence included a dishonorable discharge, a reduction in rank, and a fine, but no prison time. When we return on the update this Sunday from Midland Beach, in the Midland Beach section of Staten Island, we will address the latest national news, including how SpaceX has delivered 2 NASA astronauts to the International Space Station. We'll address that and more on the update with Brandon Julian, OTR. Podcast exclusive also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel returns in just a moment.
News for New Yorkers who never stop moving. You're listening to The Update with Brandon Julian on 90.3 WKRB.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Listen to us on Mixcloud to learn more about the stories that matter to you. And did you miss out on any episode of The Update? Listen to us anytime at mixcloud.com/the WKRB update.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Update Brandon Julian OTR podcast exclusive, also on the WKRB Mixcloud channel. Today's road stop, Midland Beach, in the Midland Beach section of Staten Island, where I'm here tomorrow as well. Let's address the latest national news on this Sunday. And we're going to begin with officials in the South. They are scrambling to adjust their hurricane plans around the pandemic. Hurricane season starts Monday, June 1. The Associated Press, they surveyed dozens of local and state emergency management officials from Texas to Virginia. And more than 60% of them say that they're still working on plans for public hurricane shelters. One calls for an evacuation during the pandemic, a nightmare scenario. They say people may want to plan to get by with federal government help, but federal emergency management officials say that they're ready and also fully funded. Out west in Camarillo in California, the average U.S. price of regular grade gasoline was 8 cents in the past 2 weeks, $2.05 a gallon. Industry analyst Trilby Lundberg of the Lundberg Survey says today that the jump comes as gasoline demand increases amid widespread easing of the stay-at-home orders. Lundberg says that the current average price is 88 cents less than what it was a year ago. The highest average price in the nation for regular grade gas is $3.10 a gallon in Honolulu. The lowest average is $1.55 in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The average price of diesel is $2.55, up 1 penny. Down in Cape Canaveral in Florida, SpaceX has now delivered 2 NASA astronauts to the International Space Station. The Dragon capsule arrived this morning, hours after a historic liftoff from Florida. It's the first time that a privately built and owned spacecraft has delivered a crew to the orbiting lab. The capsule docked automatically barely 19 hours after liftoff. SpaceX launched the Dragon from the Kennedy Space Center yesterday afternoon, the first astronaut launch from the U.S. to orbit in nearly a decade. Finally, going back to George Floyd, Target and CVS are temporarily closing locations after some were damaged during the weekend protests. Target says it's closing 105 stores in 10 states, including 46 stores in California and 33 in Minnesota, where the protests over Floyd's death began. CVS, which is headquartered in Rhode Island, has closed stores in 20 states and the District of Columbia. Neither company has said, though, how they chose which stores to shutter or how long they'll be closed. Target says its employees will be paid for up to 14 days. Floyd, of course, who is black, died after a white Minneapolis officer used his knee to pin Floyd's neck down for several minutes while Floyd pleaded for air. Our thought for today is Walt Whitman, an American poet born on this date in 1819 and died in 1892. The future is no more uncertain than the present. I'll let you guys ponder on that as we say in the words of Walter Cronkite, that is the way it is. On Sunday, May 31st, 2020. That is the update on this Sunday from Midland Beach in the Midland Beach section of Staten Island. I'm Brandon Julian. We appreciate you joining us. And in the words of Roger Grimsby and Bill Butel, hoping that your news is good news, I thank you very much for joining me. Good luck. Be safe. Be well. See you right back out here.